Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, excited as always to jump into these. We've got a bunch of different questions. Going to try to have a little bit of a centered focus around recruiting, but still touch on a bunch of different topics around Florida State football. As always, want to start a podcast and thank our friends at Louisiana Hot Sauce. Three simple ingredients, one fantastic product, something that I use three times a day at this point, and couldn't have partnered with better people.
Ingram, if you use it three times a day, you may need to go see a doctor, buddy. But you're right. They are our title sponsor. Man, we love Louisiana Hot Sauce. It's perfect. Just the right amount of heat. We've had a lot of listeners tell us, hey, you guys are right about that. Like, you know, a couple shakes, decently hot, a lot of shakes really can kick it up. But it's not one of those hot sauces that's just going to light you up if you just do a shake or two. You know, we've all probably had hot sauces like that where you can ruin your food when it's just too hot. And you know what? Nobody needs something that hot. I don't think so. So Louisiana Hot Sauce, proud to have them as our title sponsor again for 2018.
All right, Bud, let's jump right into these questions here. The first one is it's a good question, something that we've seen kind of routine over the past couple of weeks. And we don't necessarily have to rehash all of the Jimbo exiting situation, but I thought this one particular listener had a question that will resonate with a decent amount of the fan base. He writes, I've been confused about the end of the Jimbo era. We all work and our companies have expectations that we're doing, quote, our jobs every day. How is it possible that the entire coaching staff stopped doing the job of recruiting as early as October 17th? And how is it possible that they stopped communicating with committed recruits and weren't pursuing others to add to the class? You guys have detailed on the podcast that Jimbo had Jimbo stayed, many/most of his assistants would have been dismissed. My question is, why was there even really an option for Jimbo to stay? It seemed like he, his staff, quit well before the final drama of the week that played out for the ULM game.
It's not they weren't doing any recruiting. They were absolutely not recruiting to the standard that they had been as far as, you know, certain coaches being in contact, evaluations being done, evaluations that are done by support staff, you know, probably being ignored by the main staff, you know, coaches looking elsewhere for other opportunities, realizing that they were not going to be retained. But there's another element to this, right? Florida State's a really prestigious school. If you talk to a kid and Florida State hasn't talked to you in a month, the kid may say something, but he also might, he might not be real, like, anxious to say, hey, man, yeah, Florida State's not talking to me anymore, right? Because that's embarrassing.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic point.
You know, it's like, hey, are you still talking to that hot girl? Oh, dude, of course. I'm. Yeah, no. Man, she's hitting me up all the time, no, right? So, you know, this is, you know, sort of one of those things. Did he have the actual option to come back? That's a more complicated question. Contractually, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that Florida State got very lucky with how things were going that they got out of the contract. Was he going to be willing to fire the staff that he needed to fire? I'm not so sure about that. I think there's a part of him that probably thinks leaving instead of actually firing the guys is sort of an easier letdown in some ways. You know, we had a lot of questions. Would the class have been better if Jimbo had stayed or if Taggart had come? I think it definitely would have been better if Taggart, just because of how bad things were going. You know, how are you going to repair not talking to like a Pat Surtain for several months, right? Hey, Pat, you know, we didn't want to
lost your phone number. Right. Sorry.
Now, look, there are certain believable, I don't want to call them excuses, but valid reasons. I've seen a lot of people in this fan base want to just bash Jimbo for everything, and I'm not a Jimbo defender. I think people realize that, you know, we would criticize the guy in good times, and we would also defend him sometimes in bad. And there are certain elements where if you know a coach is not going to be on your staff next year, you may not want him being like the lead dog recruiter for you. But there were so many guys who I think he probably realized had to go that it was going to be a very tough situation for them to close out that class once things started to go south and once things culturally within the program really started to go south. I'm not sure that the kids, you know, like your really good recruiters, like your, you know, your Trey McKitty, the kids all on campus, I'm not sure that they were going to be as good of recruiters for Jimbo as they were for Willie. Because Willie came in and sort of was like, hey, that guy that left is nuts. This place is awesome. Y'all are awesome. And I believe in you, right? These kids want to play for Willie. There's no doubt Jimbo had lost a lot of them.
I think you make some really great points there, particularly in what you said at the beginning. A recruit is probably shy to start to mention that a school has broken off communication. I'll also say that, and I don't remember exactly when this was, but I remember at some point on the podcast just openly saying aloud that what I was hearing of Florida State's recruitment of Justin Fields just didn't make sense to me.
Hater. Ingram, you're just a hater, man. I can go track that three-star review you got on iTunes probably exactly to that comment.
Right. And it
just
didn't
make
sense.
Just like the guy that thought us saying 10-2 or 9-3 was way too negative. haters. You're a hater, buddy.
But it's the absolute fact. Some of the stuff that was coming out of there didn't make sense. It didn't make sense that a guy who just signed the massive contract that he did, some of the stories that you would start hearing, your natural conclusion is, and yes, you and I talked about the possibility of Texas A&M early on, but you don't necessarily just jump from one kid had to cancel a visit, another kid just said he hadn't heard from a coach in a while, to oh my God, the staff has shut the doors and is no longer actively recruiting. That is something that takes a second to really be able to figure out, and there's a lot of other kind of data points that are needed. But when I started talking about things that were going on in recruiting that didn't make sense, that's what it was. Didn't make sense that a guy very close to Justin Fields told me that Florida State basically was playing a round of golf, teed off on the 14th hole, and then just drove into the clubhouse. That didn't make sense. But you don't necessarily get to jump from that to, hey, they've just stopped recruiting and don't have an eye for anything beyond, you know, the final games left of 2017, 2018. So that's the best way that I can answer that. And I think the other program stuff, my answer would be fairly similar to what you said.
Oh, he said, P.S., cannot find Louisiana hot sauce in Orange County, but I keep looking. By the way, Orange County is beautiful, man. I went and I hiked the, Aliso Summit Trail or Aliso Peak Trail, one of the two, when I was out there for the Under Armour Los Angeles event this weekend, and really pretty. Question here for you. The new staff use of social media. Hey, guys, hope you're doing well. Awesome work. I'd like your take on the change in social media and access/exposure of the staff in general with the new regime. Obviously, the staff is way more active on social media, but also interested in your take on what's coming out of the official outlets, such as the Mic'd Up with Coaches Bell and Kelly. I feel like we already are getting to know the staff personality-wise better than we knew much of the old staff after years. I guess the question is, as a Noel fan, this type of controlled openness / access to the staff is a monster change. But what is it in context to other programs around the country? Is this something that could prove to really be an advantage for FSU, or is it merely bringing FSU up to the industry standard and nothing to get particularly excited about? Do they still need to get better in this area? Since I only follow FSU on social media, I don't have a big handle on what other programs do well. Thanks, Lou Chacha. That's a really good question, man. It's something I hadn't thought about, because I have to follow all these schools for my job. In fact, I just got done making our lists for the SBN recruiting account. And so over the past like 4 days, if you haven't seen me on Twitter a whole lot, I've been putting 3,400 people I follow into different lists so I can scroll across them on TweetDeck and make them a more manageable list, as opposed to just one gigantic timeline of thousands of people. I think what they're doing is really smart, actually. I think you have to do this in this day and age. You have to reach people where they are, and increasingly where people are is on social media. Have you had a chance to watch these yet? Some of these, like the Chase, which is their, we talked about that last episode when people were asking us, about the Chase and about Dawn Patrol, which is their punishment thing. They don't talk about that a whole lot, but, certainly another kid decided he didn't want to do Dawn Patrol, apparently. Baselli is done. As we said, wouldn't surprise us to see a couple more go.
I had a feeling that was coming down the pipe.
Yeah. With that, look, we had a draft on that. I don't know who actually broke that. It might have been the Democrat. If so, hat tip to them. We had a draft on that on Tomahawk for, I think, probably Christmas. But the thing was, I don't think he was actually officially done, and so you don't want to run an article. Like, you look kind of stupid if you run an article, hey, this kid's off the team, and then it turns out he just took a break for whatever reason. But yeah, that does it cuts your numbers down by one. I don't think he was going to be a contributor at this point. That's kind of a tangent. Have you watched these the chase videos much?
Yeah, I think, first of all, you're giving content to a fan base that's kind of starved as far as any kind of access to the program. Even a series of pictures from practice is eager to be consumed and, in a way, is an upgrade from the previous regime. My more broader comment about social media and the new regime's use of it is that there's a very intentional branding with the program that I don't think existed previously. And the brand of Florida State football is much more defined, and there appears to be much more intention with what they're doing. So I think it's a step forward for the program, and I've been excited to see how they've kind of used these periodic look-ins to not only give their fans more access, but kind of carve out their brand and give a little bit more of an identity to the program.
I would say that the way they interact on social media with fans and with former greats of the program certainly is much better than it was in the past. Obviously, the only guy really on social media prior or that actually used it in a public fashion was Tim Brewster. Look, that works if you're winning big, but I don't think that's the reason why you won big. It's sort of like a flaw that can be overlooked if you win big, but it's not the reason why. I think that they are doing a better job of using social media now, and that's increasingly important because more and more people are getting on social media. They're on Snap, they're on Instagram, they're obviously on Twitter. I think they're like upper third, I would say, of how they use social media as far as like the Power Five schools in terms of how they interact. You know, one area that I don't think they're all that good at is I don't think their graphics team is all that good.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I don't see a lot of kids, and I have to follow all these kids. Like I said, I follow contacts. So these are non-college coaches and non-recruits. So basically parents, other people, associated, et cetera, high school coaches, 548. Other media members, 309. Class of 22, 15. Class of 2021, 161. Class of 2019, that's the current class, 820 kids, most of them national kids, obviously. And then college coaches and college staff, 634. So, there's a lot of people that I see on a regular basis tweeting, and you sort of absorb it. What I don't see is I don't see kids talking about the edits that FSU makes very often. I think the guy they lost actually did a pretty good job of it. Clemson's edit staff is unreal.
Clemson is still really kind of the gold standard in both use of their social media and their edits. I think soccer clubs have actually, like European soccer giants have sent some people over to work with Clemson's social media department. They're very much established as some of the leaders in their field.
And they have a lot more money and a lot bigger support staff. So obviously I'm not expecting FSU to get up on Clemson's level there. But I do think they could do better than they have been doing. And that's not like a, hey, this is a shot on Willie Taggart's staff or the old staff. I just think, for instance, I had a guy that talked to me about FSU's junior day, which went really well. And, he told me, man, there are so many cool things. Did you know that the coaches got into a big time rap battle? Did I already mention that?
I had not heard that. No.
On the bus. Yeah. Check this out. This is kind of cool. Not a rap battle as in they're trying to rap back and forth and see who can rap better. But it's, I think it was Greg Fry and I'm trying to remember who the parent told me. I think it might've been Snyder, but Fry and I think maybe it was Fry and Kelly, but I forgot. They were discussing with the parents why the new rap the kids listen to is sometimes just hot trash, and which is accurate. I can confirm there's some good stuff and there's some stuff these kids listen to at these camps. It's just not very good music. And then the parents were, of course, loving it because the parents are about the same age that they are, if not a little bit younger or older. And they were talking about all the early 90s hip hop that they listened to when they were coming up. So, that is a very, very strong thing they do, right? The relatability. They're like the age of these parents.
Mm-hmm.
The old staff largely wasn't. I mean, for the most part, your parents, these kids, are not in their like 50s. You know, they're a lot of them are in their 40s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a really cool, relatable thing. You know, and a guy was like, that was awesome. There's no doubt. He goes, you know, the one thing I will say, like, some of the flash, like the name placards we have. He goes, the ones at UF just were much cooler. Little details like that, that I think if you're not on a recruiting visit, you may never notice, but I talk to the parents and talk to the kids and whatnot. So the way they do some of their graphic stuff, I think certainly could be improved, but the way they're doing social media under Willie Taggart is certainly a major upgrade over what it was under Jimbo. I mean, heck, just the value of having Dion tweet positively about your school is huge.
Hard to even quantify. Yeah, it really is.
Dion helps run the Under Armour All-America game. He's out there every year coaching in it. All these kids follow him. Like, he's literally, not debatably or indisputably, the best cornerback of all time. If you're a top corner, you're probably going to hit the follow button on Dion on Twitter. They've already engaged their former stars on a social media basis, much better than they had prior. Hell, look at what Jalen Ramsey did the other day. Did you catch that?
Yeah, certainly.
You know, I mean, for those of y'all who didn't see this, you know, I understand only a fraction of the audience uses Twitter. Jalen Ramsey got really kind of torqued that Tim Brewster put out this graphic that showed these quote unquote defensive backs coached by Jimbo Fisher. Which, look, I get all schools do this. I'm sure that FSU will do this too at some point. But, you know, and it was Jalen Ramsey was on there. And then also, like, a guy that Mike Elko, who's a good dude, who's Jimbo's new DC, he was at Wake, a guy that he had coached. And, you know, they had all this, like, Aggie stuff on there. And basically it was...
Well, it was Jalen, PJ. It was all the kids.
Yeah, it was all FSU
Xavier
guys,
Rhodes, all the kids that Florida State sent to the NFL in the past, you know, 4 years in the secondary, or 6 years.
Yeah, man. So that was cool that they were able to engage with that. You know, we saw DeMarcus Walker tweeting, you know, "Hey, coach, I'm riding with you." You know, after meeting Willie Taggart, we already saw Jalen come back. You know, I know some people got up in arms, and we'll talk about this later about Jameis. You know, tweeting congratulations to James Foster, but I'm not going to blame Jameis for that at all. So, yeah, social media wise, engagement much better. Behind the scenes stuff, I think they're doing a better job of that. Graphics wise, I still feel like they could probably use an upgrade, especially with the personalization stuff. And, you know, the humor impact too, I feel like is something. You know, Clemson does a really good job, I've noticed, of taking like really popular new movies and all of a sudden the kid's on a Black Panther poster, right? Or, you know, the a new video game comes out. Not a sports video game necessarily, but like they'll put the kid in the middle of something like that. It's just fun stuff, kind of goofing around stuff. Look, again, I'm not expecting FSU to be Clemson here, but they could be a little bit better with that.
But as good a time of any to thank our friends at Resolution Home Loans, Chad and Shannon, fantastic supporters of the podcast, people that we're real excited to work with. Not necessarily a service that you need all the time, but when it matters, it's great to be able to pair with experts. And we're very, very fortunate and look forward to working with Resolution Home Loans and being able to deliver our listener base a very high quality product.
Another great no loan business. You know, Chad runs the deal. Shannon is his number one loan officer. When you call 844-FSU-LOAN or visit FSUHomeLoans.com, that's who you're going to get. You're going to get to deal with Chad's number one guy, Shannon. He's not going to give you the runaround. He's going to talk to you about their almost home program and how that works. They pay for the underwriting cost up front, so you don't have to. And so you know, hey, you're going to be good for this amount. They want to take the guesswork out of it. They want to get you ready, right? When you see the opportunity, if the defense isn't lined up, let's get that ball snapped. Let's stop messing around, stop huddling. When you see that house you want because you've already done the almost home program, let's go. Let's get that house. 844-FSU-LOAN, FSUHomeLoans.com.
Next question comes from Mike. Mike writes, first of all, thank you for keeping our fan base so informed that I rarely need to ask questions. Kind of you, Mike. Like the Louisiana hot sauce, you were always there for us with three simple ingredients: Bud, Ingram, and the truth.
Well, oh my God,
sir. Okay,
I don't even care what this question is. We're still going to read it.
I might have to send that to Louisiana. My question is: have you done any analysis on biggest underachievers versus their recruiting classes? I believe we have consistently recruited in the top five, quote, under the Jimbo regime. end quote, but are not finishing anywhere near that 14, 18, not ranked in the last 3 years? Are we the worst performing team with our recruiting talent in the NCAA?
Not even close. Not even close. No, hell no. All right. So we're going to make a break out the spreadsheet. Florida State consistently a top five recruiter for the most part. And like you said, what, 14, 18, and not ranked there in the final one. Let's pull out another elite level recruiter. Let's go to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
How's Jim Harbaugh doing? Because they're right there. I mean, Florida State, 64% blue chips in that span. Michigan looks like 61, so very close. Michigan, not doing so hot. How about let's go to a school that had recruited better than FSU during that span? Let's go to Baton Rouge. How's LSU doing? Anything special for them? Recently, I don't really think so. I mean, you know, USC has done some okay things. Auburn obviously struggled quite a bit, and yet they were very good last year. People always want to do this idea that, you know, hey, like if you're a top five recruiter, you should be a top five team every year. It just doesn't translate like that. Like, are you more likely to be than somebody who's not? Sure. But it's not a one-to-one perfect correlation or anything like that at all. Here's one. How about the 15th best recruiter in that span? Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
0-8 in the SEC this year. The 14th best recruiter in that span, Texas A&M. How about the 11th best recruiter in that span, Texas? Fired their coach. New coach, pretty rough first year, as you know often happens. So no, certainly not. You know, people say, hey, Ohio State and Alabama have been, you know, 1-2, and they've pretty much finished 1-2. That's true, but they're on such a different stratosphere of recruiting than Florida State was, right? Like, Florida State was fourth compared to them. But the gap between Florida State and Ohio State, you know, 2-4, was the same as the gap between like Florida State and like the 12th ranked team. They were really just kind of on another stratosphere. And Georgia has kind of joined them in that regard in the last two classes, and we'll see if they keep that up. But I think the answer to the question is no, certainly not the most underachieving team. I mean, if you want to, even when you cherry pick a 3-year sample.
The next question we had was a recruiting question, also a requested update on somebody on the existing roster. So the first part is, hey guys, just curious on Marvin Wilson. Heard a rumor he is pushing 380 pounds. Is that just BS or did he really get badly out of shape? If Marvin Wilson weighs 380 pounds, that's the best carried 380 pounds I've ever seen. He is performing, by all accounts, exceptionally well at off-season workouts, has emerged as a quote-unquote team leader for whatever
stack. Willie Taggart name-dropped him on the Associated Press AP Top 25 podcast with Ralph Russo, by the way.
Yeah, so Marvin Wilson's legit, and I don't care how much he weighs. He's everything that you want with Marvin Wilson is headed in the right direction.
I'll bet you Marvin Wilson does not weigh 380 pounds.
No.
Now, if he does, could he at some point in the past, like, couple months, you know, maybe considering that their strength conditioning program was kind of lacking and that he really wasn't getting much playing time. I can't tell you.
And he does have a proclivity for chicken, so we do know that.
He does love the honey fried chicken, as per his recruiting interview, and he said it on ESPN. Look, I don't think there's any way he's 380 now, which is what I really care about. If this is something that somebody heard, I can't totally shoot it down that it was never true, like at any point, but I don't think it's true now.
Second part was a question about Akeem Tent, the highest current commitment, highest rated current commitment for the 2019 class of Florida State. Questions asked, haven't heard much about Dent recently other than Saban flying a helicopter down onto the field to talk to him. Has Taggart talked with him much? Did he come up to junior day? Is Florida State still solidly locked in on him?
So I asked a source on staff about that, and I was told we're all good. So
it's good enough for me.
That is good. Now look, Akeem is he likes obviously that Florida State was still good to Greg during that whole thing. And I spoke to Akeem and he said that his brother, who is a walk-on on the team, loves it up there and is obviously like already working out with the squad. He's the guy. If you saw Tamron Terry tweet out the photo of the receivers, or maybe it was Naquan who did it. He's the guy doing the Sub-Zero pose from Mortal Kombat for all you all in your 30s. If you're in your 20s, you may have played Mortal Kombat. I'm not sure. The original one was better. So, yeah, I think that they are extremely high on him, and I think he's still high on Florida State. They want him to come back up for another visit, obviously, and be an even bigger leader in the class. Here's another wrinkle for you. Do you know who used to coach his 7-on-7 team, the Florida Fire? It's Stanford Samuels Jr.
Do you know who
he played with? Stanford Samuels III. So there's a lot of connections there that make Florida State a good spot for Akeem Dent, and which will continue to exist. So I feel like Florida State's in a good spot to continue with that. Ingram, you know, over the years, a lot of us have asked, hey, how can we support the Nolcast? Hey, do you guys ever have events? Do you ever do live shows? You know, a lot of questions like that. You know, why don't you all sell T-shirts? And the answer's always kind of been, look, we're kind of in the podcast game and not necessarily in the T-shirt game or in the live show game and all that stuff yet. But, you know, one of our great advertisers is Madison Social and the Florida Table Restaurant Group. And they came to us and they said, hey, why don't you all come and have a Nolcast tailgate at Township, which is one of their four great restaurants, Madison Social, Township, Centrale, and then now the new Soto, and we'll debut our new beer, the War Daddy beer, of the weekend of FSU spring game, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You get the shirt, the Nolcast t-shirt. You get, with that, 16-ounce War Daddy beer, which is a light lager brewed by Brewbus in Tampa, 16-ounce can. Going to be really awesome. If you guys want to support us, wear an awesome t-shirt of your favorite podcast, $25. Women's sizes as well. We know, and I said guys, but hey, we know we have some lady listeners as well, which is awesome. Now, here's the deal. You can't pick them up on site. Orders are going to be shipped. They want to do it that way so they know how many people are going to come to the Nolcast tailgate before the spring game. If you're going to be in town for the spring game, $25 for a great t-shirt and a beer and support your favorite podcast, that sounds pretty good to me. How do I get it? Well, three ways. You can go to puntingisbunting.com. If you happen to type it in wrong, I also bought buntingispunting.com, which is, you know, just reverse. Or you could even Google Nolcast shirt, and we have the number one Google result for that. All of those will take you to the Madison Social Nolcast shirt page. Madison Social has a great t-shirt business. When they came to us and said, hey, we can make you all a t-shirt, I was like, yeah, I don't have to make it. They had their artist do it. They had their t-shirt guy do it, and they're great at it. $25, you get in the Nolcast pregame event at Township. You get your free War Daddy beer, which is debuting that week. We'll all talk a little ball, go watch the new Gulf Coast offense in Doak. It's going to be a good day. Weather's going to be awesome. So looking forward to that. Get your shirts and spread the word. Thank you all so much for supporting the Nolcast.
Bud, next question here is comes from CJ of New York City. Appreciate the listen, CJ. You've said that the staff is in place to win college football games, but my two-part question is, with high school kids becoming a bit savvier with their futures, or quarterbacks who want to learn a complicated pro-style offense, or wide receivers who want to learn more of the whole wheel, of the whole route tree, going to forego lethal simplicity to learn a system they believe might make them more NFL-ready? The second part of this question is, if I were recruiting a quarterback or a wide receiver against the Noles, I'd ask them bluntly, do you want to run an offense that's going to get you ready for the NFL, or do you want to run a college offense? Jimbo always seemed to get those QBs who wanted to learn a pro-style offense, so do you think that the aforementioned tactic may have been used with James Foster, and what can Taggart do to combat that in the future?
Sure. Well, I think that you can... This is actually a really, really good question. It's a good observation. So basically, do I think it was used with Foster? Yeah, almost certainly. I think I would use it if I was Jimbo. Jimbo's quarterback recruiting in the past couple of years had not been very good. It's one of the reasons why Florida State is in the position that it's in now. There's also some elements that were out of his control, to be completely fair. You know what I would point out? I would point out that USC's kid is probably going to be the top QB picked in the draft, and he reads like one defender on 95% of the plays. Lamar Jackson is going to go extremely high.
I think this argument has a shelf life on it, and we may have already reached it. Yeah, I agree completely.
There's like a certain jumping off point, right? And you've got to know when to jump off. And I do feel like critical mass may be hit here. Look at how the NFL is being played now. You know, you can point out to these kids, look at all these NFL teams that are doing what we were doing. We're not adapting to the NFL. The NFL is having to adapt to us. And it is finally starting to do it. In fact, we just saw the Super Bowl where the Eagles RPO'd their way through the playoffs. I mean, It's a lot more complicated than that, obviously, at the NFL level, but it's a podcast, so I'm not going to get into that much. And then they had counters for what they anticipated that the Patriots would do to take away some of their RPO stuff. Willie's job is to win college football games, and it's not like Florida State was producing a whole bunch of NFL receivers to the NFL part of that question. You know who does put a lot of receivers in the NFL? Clemson. And they run a very wide open spread attack that is based off what Chad Morris did as a high school coach in Texas. Florida State running a wide open spread attack that is based off what a high school coach did in Texas, who then took it to Baylor. Now you can also see it at Tulsa and at Syracuse and some other places, as well as some other elements that didn't come from that. But no, I think you have to basically tell the kids, look, we're going to put you in a position to make plays, to make highlights, to showcase your skills. Kids from these offenses do get drafted highly still. It's a myth that they don't. Obviously, if you're Jimbo, you're going to use it as a counter. But you're also, I think one of the tough things for Fisher is evaluation. These kids nowadays don't come from pro-style offenses. Everybody's running the spread. It just makes more sense to use the whole field. At the high school level, I think it's a little bit easier to evaluate now if you're a spread college program than a high school or than a pro-style college program, simply because you can take and say, okay, we do these elements of this kid's thing. And you can sit the kid down and you can say, hey, you're going to fit our system really well. You know why? Because you're already running a lot of our system.
Great point. I think it's a very evolving. The concern is one that I'm not sure will exist in even 12 months. I think this is a situation that was lended itself a much better argument 2 years and certainly just before the past NFL season. So interesting to watch the evolution of that and if this is even a concern a year or 2 years from now. Next question comes from Michelle. Michelle from Virginia writes, my daughters and I are faithful listeners and have a couple of questions. Happy that my girls are developing an interest in college football. What usually happens during a, quote, official visit? We have a general idea, but just curious how they're usually organized, what's included, and how much they may have changed with the coaching transition. I know it involves help from current players and support staff. First of all, just the idea that a mom and her daughters are listening to this podcast is incredible to me and not one that I ever would have imagined when you and I started doing that. So that is fantastic. And Michelle, appreciate the listen and glad you guys are able to enjoy the product.
That's awesome. Very cool. I knew we had female listeners out there. I mean, it's just so hard to get demographics. Like, we have great demographic data on how many people listen, when they listen, and where they listen.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have good data on male female, so that's really cool. You know, if you're a female listener, certainly let us know. We know we have a couple. I don't have a great feel for how many we have. It looks like the vast majority of our followers on Twitter, at least, are dudes. So here you go. So I'm on an official visit, right? Let's say I'm either going to fly in or I'm going to drive, right? If I drive, I get reimbursed for my mileage. If I fly, there's some regulations as far as how many people that can come with me as far as being paid for by the school. I think both parents now, and I'm trying to remember who else can come. Anyway, so like, let's say I'm Trayshawn Harrison. So I fly in, right? And I get to the airport and, his parents were divorced, but you know, so they both get there. Somebody from support staff picks them up at the airport. And they probably, depending on when they get in, if you get in early enough, you may go over and you may have lunch at the stadium with the coaches and some of the current players. You may have a meeting scheduled with a professor, hopefully of the major that you might have told them that you're interested in. At some point, you're going to go check into the hotel and there's going to be a cookie cake waiting for you, probably, or some sort of baked good personalized with your name on it. So you can get you checked into the hotel, get your parents checked into their hotel room, get freshened up, and then they're going to go to dinner, typically at a nice restaurant or, sometimes at the coach's house, depending on the school. And they're going to have a private room for the dinner, and the coaches are going to share stories that they're all going to joke around, depending on, how many people are in the group. If it's a big visit weekend, it's a little bit less personal during the dinner. If it's a small visit weekend, obviously it's more of an intimate dinner setting. And then the parents will go and hang out oftentimes in groups as parents, or if they want to just go relax at the hotel, they can do that. And then the kids will get to go hang out with the current players on the team who have been given a certain amount of money. It's like compliance has to approve it. How much? It's actually not that much, at least the above board amount. If I was running a program, I would make sure that you get the envelope that that compliance is stamped, and then I would give you another envelope, which is enough to get you into VIP and all this other stuff. So they go out with the players, typically very late. If you look at the timeline of Twitter the next morning, you often see these kids tweeting until like 3 or 4 a.m. Or 5, which is interesting. The bars are only open in Tallahassee till 2, I believe, unless I missed something. So then the next morning, they will get up and they will have breakfast, and they will go to the stadium. They will have a meeting with their potential position coach. Their like area recruiter will usually sit in on this. They'll have a presentation, customized clips with what they do on film well, what the current offense or defense does, showing how you match up with them. Q&A session with the future position coach. Then you'll have like a Q&A with a player panel where the coaches are not in there, and it's something that the parents and the kids really do enjoy. You can ask these guys literally whatever you want, and for what I've been told, they're pretty honest about it. And that's where it's really important, by the way, that the kids like the program, because if they're going to be honest and the program's in disarray and you're not really feeling it, you're probably not going to be the best salesman for your program. Then you'll have an academic presentation. At some point, they really do want you to meet with somebody from the college that you're considering. They'll also have an academic, sort of counseling meeting with just saying, hey, look, this is where we see you. These are your strengths. These are the tutoring we can help you with, that type of stuff. If you're Trayshawn, maybe you meet with the president of the school, depending. That's something that's potentially could happen if you're him. And then you're going to go and you're going to have a sit down with the head coach. And typically, you can go out again on Saturday night, and then most of the time you will leave on Sunday morning. But first, they're going to do breakfast and kind of a final little sit down thing. Some of it's just hanging out and vibing, right? And getting a good feel for the players. There's going to be a campus tour. It's basically all expenses paid sales trip. They're trying to sell you on that school. They're trying to answer any questions you might have. So when you leave there, you're fully comfortable with them. And they want you to understand what the place is like, what the layout's like. They want you to be able to picture yourself as a Seminole. And that's what goes down on the official visit. The unofficial, as we said, is different because they can't pay for your travel and your meals and all that kind of stuff. They can give you tickets to a game if there's a game, but all that other stuff is not as much included. You can still do the academic meetings. You can still do some of that kind of stuff. But who pays for it is really changed. And for a lot of these kids, who pays is a big time deal, as I'm sure parents can understand.